Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. In the season of Christmas, we became very familiar with the first few verses of the Gospel according to St. John. On Christmas Eve and again on Christmas Day, we read that indescribably beautiful passage that identifies our Lord as the Word of God. The Word who was already with God in the beginning. The Word who was already God in the beginning. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke opened their gospel accounts with people like John the Baptist or places such as Bethlehem, as you know, St. John begins his account of the gospel of our Savior Christ before all worlds. John chooses to begin by taking us to a time and a space where there was no time or space, only God, Father, Son, and Spirit. At the outset of his gospel account, St. John carries us into the infinite depths of eternity. And while we can't begin to fathom such holy mysteries, he writes in a way that ensures our understanding of three eternal truths. The first truth is this: in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, when time began and creation came into existence, the Word already was. In the beginning was the Word. The first thing St. John wants us to understand is the truth that our Lord is an eternal, absolute, uncreated being that stands outside the created limits of space and time. The second truth St. John wants us to understand is that the Word is a divine person. He wrote, and the Word was with God. So this phrase, it shows a distinction of persons, the Word and God, while at the same time painting this beautiful picture of the complete and inseparable intimacy of one divine person being with another divine person. As I said, we can't begin to fathom these holy mysteries, but try to imagine what that must mean. What it means for the person of Jesus Christ to be with God in the unity of the Holy Spirit before all worlds. St. John's words seek to express the perfect love and the complete intimacy that is present in the eternal Word with God. Now, the third truth that John wants us to recognize is that the Word was God. This third truth can be seen as the conclusion that flows from the first two truths that John presents. Since the Word already was in the beginning, and because the Word existed in perfect communion with God before the foundation of the world, the reasonable conclusion is that the Word was God. For who could dwell with God in the depths of eternity? Who could perfectly love and be loved by God before the creation of space and time except one who was God himself? These three eternal truths are revealed in the very first verse of the Gospel according to St. John. The single verse illustrates the immeasurable height and the unfathomable depth of Christ's existence, the glory that the person of Christ shared with God the Father through the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. So now, with these great and glorious truths in mind, consider how St. John was inspired to begin the first letter that he wrote to the church. The book 1 John also begins by speaking of our Savior Christ. But it does so in this way. John writes about Christ, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have gazed upon and touched with our own hands. This is the word of life. And this is the life that was revealed. We have seen it and have testified to it. So St. John began his gospel account with the eternal word, a description of Christ before all worlds, before the creation of time and space. And in his first epistle, he introduces us to the same person. Yet here, the person who was with God in the beginning, the person who was God in the beginning, is the same person that St. John says, we have seen with our own eyes. We've gazed upon and touched with our own hands. The person of Christ before all worlds is the person of Christ who took on human flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was born in a stable, who rested on Jacob's well in the hot desert sun, who was fully human in every way, yet without sin. In Holy Scripture, it is St. John who strives to unfold eternal truths about the Creator that no created eye can see. And it is St. John who also insists on the tangible, the personal, the human relationship that existed between the Creator and those to whom he had been revealed. To many of you here today, these are scriptures and thoughts that are very familiar. To some, it may even seem repetitive to once again be speaking of the eternal truth that our Lord and Savior is fully God, or the historical fact that he is fully man. These are familiar things. Yet they are great and glorious things that we don't spend nearly enough time contemplating. And they're also the lens through which we must view our gospel reading this morning. For it is impossible to understand the significance of the baptism of our Lord apart from this eternal and historical knowledge of him. So in our reading today, we find that John the Baptist had an understanding of these things. Scripture tells us that John was baptizing in the wilderness. He was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins. Baptism is for sinners. Baptism is for those who need to confess and repent. And that's why Scripture tells us that John tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized. The Baptist knew who Christ was and is and will ever be, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, when Jesus came to be baptized by John, John said to him, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? The person of Jesus Christ, who was already with God in the beginning, who already was God in the beginning, came in humble human flesh to be baptized by John. And like John, we should all be asking ourselves, why? The last time I spoke with you, I asked you to consider God in the person of Jesus Christ, showing up in humble human flesh in places we would never expect. On that Sunday, I asked you to imagine God alone on the cross, or weary and tired, resting on a well, or as a babe, born in a stable, sleeping in an animal's feed trough. Today I ask you once more to take just a moment to consider God in such a lowly place. Imagine the Almighty, the All-Holy, Creator and Sustainer of heaven and earth, stepping into the waters of a sinner's baptism. Picture him there, And then, like John the Baptist, ask yourself why. Why would God stoop so low? I can think of no other reason than love. I can think of no other reason than his desire to take his beloved people by the hand and lead them home. The baptism of our Lord is a moment in which we see clearly that he is the bridge between God and mankind. Picture Jesus 2,000 years ago standing at the edge of the Jordan River, standing as a fully human person among the sinful, repentant crowd. Jesus stood there with us as one of us, though he himself was God, though he was without sin. Jesus stood with us. And then he stepped out from the crowd into the waters of baptism. And in that moment, the heavens opened. The Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so the Word, who was with God in the beginning, the Word who was God in the beginning, reaches up to the Father as he reaches out to mankind. It is in Christ that we meet God. It is in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ that our relationship with God is healed and restored. At our Lord's baptism, we see the heavens opened to the world. And we hear the voice of our Savior beckoning us to leave the dusty shore and enter into the communion that he shares with God the Father through the Spirit. Union and communion with God. Father, Son, and Spirit. This is the gift we received at our baptism. Union and communion with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is a gift that only Christ, the God-man, can give. Union and communion with God. He in us, and we in him. This is his sacramental gift to you, today and into eternity. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.